Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about cults. Who in society is most susceptible to becoming part of a cult? And if you're just obsessed with something, is that a cult? We're going to get into this science and mostly psychology around these sort of very pervasive popular things constantly in human life.
In human life. Yeah, I'm really excited to tell some stories.
Yeah, so we'll leave it here, but Mitch was in a cult. I can't wait to talk about it. Ooh, yeah, that's a good tease.
A susceptible cult person. We'll get there when we get there. I already told you, but I'm just going to tell everyone, I fell off my bike today.
Yeah.
It wasn't so bad, actually, but in the moment, at the beginning, I was like, did I break my arm? And was like, am I bleeding everywhere? I wasn't. Luckily, I was wearing full jeans and a sweater, but I did, my wheel got stuck in a track and I like slid across the ground. Like then I lost control and like I've never fallen off a bike like this ever in my life.
So like, describe the sensation, because that's my worst nightmare, the streetcar track.
Well, luckily there were no cars around. I was turning at a spot where there's a streetcar track and my wheel got stuck in it. I wasn't going so fast, but then because of that, my hands started wobbling like this. And then, it, you know, it's like you go further back and forth each way. Like,
basically. But wait, is your front wheel in it or your back wheel?
My front wheel hit it. It made me lose control. And then I started trying to overcorrect. And then it's like, then you start going bigger and bigger overcorrecting.
So the wheel wasn't like stuck in it. It just
maybe
got
for like a second it was. And I was trying to get it out. And that, I think I overcorrected in it. Anyway,
that's so
then
scary.
At some point it twisted so much that I like flew off the bike and fell sideways and like slid across the ground.
I feel like it's
always find it amazing when I was like, okay, well, like my clothes aren't ripped, so I'm probably fine. But when I got home, my knee was bleeding. So it's like you can still get like scraped through clothes hard enough.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. More like a rug burn, I guess.
I feel like it's kind of, you know, a staple, a claimed living in Toronto.
To getting in a streetcar track. That has happened to me once before. I didn't fall, but I remember feeling so scared because there was cars around. Because you really lose control once it happens.
Oh my God. I hate driving. I'm so scared of streetcar tracks. I just avoid those streets like the plague.
Yeah. But let's talk about something more positive. I just have to get it out there because I feel like it spooked me and I've been coming down from that like for a few hours.
Okay. So we saw Bad Bunny and we saw La Rosalía.
Oh yeah. two amazing concerts. I personally said that Rosalía was the best show I've ever seen in my life. And I think that now.
Which I love to hear because I'm obsessed with everything. So everything I see, I think is the best.
The amount of times I've heard you say that was the best concert I've ever seen.
I know, but in my head now, I'm like, how come I'm like, but it was only Bad Bunny and Rosalía. But I'm like, I guess the last time I saw Bad Bunny, I said that. And I guess the time before that I saw Bad Bunny, I said that.
But I feel like you've come home from other concerts or shows and just been like, that was the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But so it's like, I really
it means something
that.
For you.
It's
yeah.
not it doesn't mean something for you. I think you it's like a beautiful quality. You just enjoy things a lot and you get like really high from concerts, and so it's nice that you're so
But it
excited.
Is annoying when someone hears me say that they can ignore me.
Right.
And like it's fine to ignore.
But I've never said that about a concert.
No, I know. And when you said it, I was like trying to like let people know that it means something.
The Bad Bunny concert was great and amazing too. The energy of the crowd was amazing. Like it was so exciting. There was fireworks. It was so fun. The reason I loved Rosalía was just because like a queen. Her voice was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Choreography, unbelievable. She's dancing the whole time, singing amazing. And just the staging was so creative and unique that it kind of like shocked me and blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I had an aisle seat, so I didn't have to have like people beside me, and that also like made me. I get claustrophobic when I'm like surrounded by too many people, so it was like I even had like extra breathing space to like see the stage perfectly.
Yeah, the Rosalía concert was crazy, and I kind of am like obviously I'm psycho. I'm like, why isn't everyone talking about it always? Because it's like all I've been thinking about. But it was so creative and effective. And I'm like, I guess I should read reviews. I guess obviously it has good reviews. But it's sort of like, it felt like more than a concert. It felt like a,
yeah.
Like, what did it feel like? A dance?
Well, recital? Just because it was so, yeah, honestly, it felt like a mix of a show as a concert. Because yeah. They're like, they're mixing technology. They're mixing just creative, simple ways. It wasn't over the top, but it was like, oh my God, what an effective way to use a random box on the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So the Bad Bunny one was in San Diego, which was also really cool. Because I think because we weren't in our home city of Toronto, I feel like even just walking there was interesting. Totally. And it was like the whole area around the Petco Park was like, truly everyone was playing Bad Bunny. It was like fun. Like it was like, there was like a vibe.
Yeah.
And then the concert was just like insane. People scream. There was a girl behind us screaming the whole time. She sounded like Toad.
Like truly, you know, like.
It was absolutely hilarious. Like if at any moment there was a down moment, I would just like think about her screaming. It was so funny. And it was the Beatles. Like people
were losing their minds.
Like it was the Beatles, including me. I thought like I was going to pass out. And then the cute bros before it start, they look so bored. I was like, oh, it sucks that there's like kind of, you know, like these people beside us who are probably not that, who've been dragged. The second he comes on, they scream like children. Like it was
losing
their minds.
It was like, actually really cute to see.
It was
like,
so cute.
People who otherwise look like tough and like so stoic are suddenly like
lost control.
He's right there.
Yeah.
He's, oh my God, I can see him.
And like, filming God, so every moment and like ignoring everyone around them. And then it was sort of shocking to see them go from like in a bad mood on their phone to like screaming high pitched.
Never being happier.
Yeah, it was.
And I think because honestly, stadium. Like we primarily see artists who have very like large queer or gay followings. Like I think Rosalia does have like a decent queer following.
True.
And I'm sure Bad Bunny does too. But in the grand scheme, he's so famous. So that stadium was packed with like so many straight people that to me, you see them break a wall when he came out. Like,
yeah,
this sounds weird, but like as a queer person, obviously sometimes I find it easier to relate to another gay person or whatever, just cause I'm like, no, they're going to accept me and not like be like, hate me because I'm gay. But
I once went to a Young Thug and Machine Gun Kelly concert. Yeah. I said that Machine Gun Kelly. It was so embarrassing, that part. I love Young Thug. That's why I was there. And during the Young Thug concert, he said, like, we're going to need to be a bit more hype than this. And I was looking around and I was like, this is a concert of straight men. Like,
this is about as hype as it can get.
I'm like, you need the gays and the queers and the women.
Usually I feel like I'm generalizing, but at concerts where you would say it's overly straight, like the hype version is to like mosh and fight. And that to me, I know you love mosh, but I get mosh. Scared. So it's like
crowd surf.
The energy for me at a place that's like hyper masculine is kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, I think my point was like, that was just men pretty much at Young Thug and they would be literally mouthing every single word he was saying, but like hands in their pockets.
Right.
Not and like very white. Like it would be like, it was so weird. It was a Young Thug concert who's obviously like a black artist. And then it was like guys in Patagonia, like from Queens. Like it was so weird. And like me, I guess I was like, I'm also a white guy like in Patagonia. But it was like, this is so, I felt so bad for him. Like he literally was like, can someone give me something? I'm like, they're mouthing all the, like they know, they know the song.
I can't give it to you physically.
Yeah. But Bad Bunny has broken that. He has challenged what masculinity means. Hence why I'm like, oh, and San Diego University is offering a course on him. I'm going to be rolling.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But Rosalia
for their education.
So much more like effective. Like Bad Bunny, it was a huge stadium. He had honestly enough fireworks to truly like
do
light
the Olympics.
A whole,
Olympic opening ceremony.
The Nagano Olympics opening ceremony. It worked. Like for me.
Oh yeah. It was like, that's fun.
I hate fireworks unless it's
Bad
Bunny.
That's
true. No, but I actually was like, I don't even care about the birds right now. Like this is amazing. off. But Rosalia was so contained and beautiful. And like, I do think for the amount of people that were getting entertained, so much more like effective. Like I think, and I read about people, I was obsessed with it after, who were like, I was in the last row. I felt so like I was a part of it. Cause she had these people filming her on stage. Like I guess they were all men, like with like steady cams were choreographed into the routines of the dancers.
Like
so
walking
like,
around her through them, but like
sometimes
literally
blocking the audience. Yeah. So like you're not even meant to really be watching her. You're watching the screen while she does something like so effective and also weirdly linked to the background. It was crazy. And I think her voice is so interesting on her songs recorded. Like she has that like Rihanna quality where like they're just incredible pop voices. And she distorts her voice so much that I didn't expect her to be
voice
like,
to be that
it
good.
Was I kept being
one
like,
of the best voices I've ever heard in real life.
Ever heard in real life. I was like, I want to hear her Defying Gravity because it was that kind of good, which was so weird. And I do now realize like, oh, she's like a trained musician from right. when she was like 13. And it shows.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was the best. I'm still riding.
Yeah, recommend if you have any way to go see those ever, like when they come near you.
Yeah,
go see.
The Rosalia one, we were both like, that's kind of sad that that is going to stop.
You'll like never get, it's not like a Broadway tour, show yeah, that can, goes forever. Like yeah. Phantom of the Opera, which is canceled or like yeah. ending.
I mean, but, maybe we really but think about for it like probably decades. Should be canceled, but yeah, like, I don't know, like some creepy guy that like stalks a woman.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, weird.
I don't know if that's
isn't he a ghost
or
something?
No, every time I've,
I don't know what that means.
I saw that musical and I was like, I have no idea what's going on.
People
and
loved that movie.
I don't get it.
And I did not.
And when the chandelier falls, it's kind of like, yeah, it's on
it's
a
like,
track.
That's
slowly.
The climax?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's not that interesting.
No, I've never seen a professional version of it, so I feel like I shouldn't. I've
I
never
have.
Seen a professional stage, like Broadway version.
It was boring.
It was boring.
It was, well, again, I don't, like, it's, I guess, an opera, because yeah. I'm like, I don't
and it's
know
operatic
what's going
style,
on.
Like, I'm singing.
No, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like operas are, you know, obviously I'm not going to know what's going on, but because it wasn't Italian, I thought maybe I would. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Like she's stuck in a chimney or something.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Rosalia is better than Phantom of the
yeah,
Opera. Okay,
yeah,
let's move
that's
on.
That's our hot take.
The Motomami tour.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You go first.
Okay. I have the cutest thing to tell you. You know how mice live in cages, but they
oh my God, cute,
like people's pet mice or laboratory mice, they will often have like a running wheel in them and they run a lot, right?
Yes.
Like often mice can run for like hours at a time through the night and actually cover miles, but
the
question,
treadmill of the cage, yes,
the treadmill of the cage, I think you just call it a wheel. Anyway, they've always wondered, like scientists in particular, it's like, is this because they're in cages and they're trying to let out steam? Is it because they're laboratory mice and it's a stressful environment? So they set up the cutest experiment of all time, which was set up a wheel in public, set up cameras at nighttime.
You mean like nature?
In nature, okay. Yeah. See what happens. What happens? Mice come and run on this wheel all night long of their own accord.
They just want to work out.
Yeah, it was like, wait, up to 18 minutes at a time they would run straight. Like, and then some of them would come back multiple times.
Oh,
they're effectively running miles on a wheel. And this is it, on top of the fact that they probably are running all day and foraging and like getting food. It was like they're doing it four or five.
Like the second time they came back, they brought a towel and a water
yeah,
bottle.
Yeah. And I just thought like, that's so cute. I always honestly thought mice run on wheels because they're bored.
Yeah,
because
they're stuck in a cage.
Yeah. But this is like a cute way to realize like even non-domesticated mice like love to run on hamster wheels is what I feel like people call them.
But. So if you're good at crafts, just make hamster wheels, put them all over nature, and you're gonna have mice running.
Yeah,
a great place for a hawk to snack them up and eat them.
Okay. It makes you realize also that mice are just like super cute. And
I think mice are so cute, but you and many people when we're around them scream. I'm like,
no, I think they're objectively cute, but they're unpredictable.
Yeah,
and it spooks me in terms of like running when you don't know what a mouse is gonna do and like if it's gonna.
Well, whenever we're in nature and I see mice, I get excited because I'm like, that's a
they're just like living.
Country gorgeous. Yeah. I don't think that one has disease. We're in like
it's actually what Country Mouse, City Mouse, the TV show was about.
Yeah, but I just mean like when we're in, you know, Algonquin Park and see a mouse, I'm like, sweet, we see an animal. But then yeah. It's like everyone around me is like screaming and like jumping on chairs. I'm like, okay, like I guess it's scary. But I do feel like I guess a mouse in your house is different.
Yeah,
it's
and
like
it's like the
invasion
of
your space
sanitation
or whatever.
And health and yeah. safety.
But
and
I still find them super cute. Like when you look at their ears, it's like that's adorable. Okay, yeah. Anyways. So
you die.
Yeah, I pass out.
That's the end.
I'm trying to think of like the best way to start. So there is a pill for anti-aging that works in flies. Okay. So
Okay.
It is
okay.
Funny. I'm like
you were
yeah,
hanging us on like not humans.
It's not
or
humans.
Not yet humans.
Well, it's just like obviously scientists are trying to figure out how to make anti-aging pills because cha-ching, have you ever figured that out? And so there's this compound called rapamycin that they give to, they've been giving to like Drosophila fries for a long time because they've noticed the benefits.
Drosophila fries is what I heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, flies. I mean, that would be like yummy. Like what would be on it? Ayo, flies. Okay. And so it essentially, when you give this compound to flies over their lives, like sometimes it's detrimental. So they're kind of like, oh shit, like maybe it's not, like based on the science and the chemistry, it should help. Mm-hmm. And what they realize is that when the fly is adolescent, if you just give them this compound, rapamycin, like a few times in their adolescence, it helps their gut to go through autophagy. It's not autophagy, but as a kid, I remember the first time I read it, I was like, we saying fag in science class? No. Autophagy, which is like the ability for your body to kill off the cells it needs to kill off effectively.
Okay.
So it helps with that in your intestines. And for whatever reason, that's led to longer lives throughout their whole life from this one dose as an adolescent.
Oh, wow.
And then they tried it again in mice. It did the same thing. It helped their bodies know when to kill off the like dead and bad cells, and the mice lived longer. So they were like, whoa, okay. The chemistry that we thought would work is now only working when we give it to them as adolescents. And then I was thinking, like, that's an interesting, like, future concept where if ever this was possible, to think that maybe the biochemistry means you give it to an adolescent and that's it.
I mean, amazing, but it's also making me think, like, I'm for sure going to die because I ate, like, Pogos and Pop-Tarts and whatever for breakfast as an adolescent.
Oh, yeah. Then no,
it reminds me of how they are, like, whatever you, when you're young, affects you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, I've always thought, like, whenever we do the signs of that with you, it's always like, that sucks.
I'm going to be dying.
Because it is, like, that childhood time where your body's obviously growing. It's more, they're not saying that necessarily.
But it just brought that up for me.
Yeah, I think it's more interesting because I think humans are so obsessed with more and more and more. And people, like, our age are probably trying to be like, give me the pill, give me the pill. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, there's an interesting future where it's like, you actually can't. Mm-hmm. And it's only in this developmental stages that are so important physiologically that these things could, like, work. I thought was interesting because it goes against kind of our capitalist notion of, like, what we want to work. Yeah. And they're probably like, just the point is, this is like a breakthrough.
I still think eventually they can figure something out that will allow us to live forever.
Even you do that just to make me mad.
No, I don't.
You don't actually think that, like, you do it. You have this glimmer.
I don't think live forever. What I'm saying is, I don't deny that this particular compound, this measly little compound, has to be imported when adolescent, but I'm just saying I trust the scientists to be smart enough to figure something out that can help you as you age.
You don't think you're going to live forever, that there's a way people are going to live forever in the future,
I just
right?
told you I'm going to die because I ate Pogos Hot Pockets. Time,
we were with Neil deGrasse Tyson and, oh no, you told him that you would live forever if you could.
I would choose to, yeah.
You would?
Well, like, I don't know. Like, would I be able to kill myself after if I got bored?
No.
I'm physically unable to die.
That's, I think, the philosophical question.
Yeah.
It's not like live for as long as you want.
Have we done an episode on this?
No, but
we've definitely talked about it.
Living forever.
Living forever.
Because I think it is an interesting take that not that many, do people want to live forever?
Well, it's just like, why do you want to die?
Because of the pain of living forever.
Fine, but there's lots of pain in living, period. Should you just skip life altogether? It's actually the shortest part of existence.
Okay, I'm writing this down because clearly it's creating a discussion.
Okay, should we take a break then? Yeah. I wrote it down and come back to talk about cults. Another great reason to live. Just kidding.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Oh, daddy.
Do we used to have a sound that says story time or?
No.
No, never mind. I was just like, well, I have a story time about cults.
I was trying to make a noise because we always start with a noise. And I was like,
what's praising a cult noise? Oh,
or like glug, 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 drink the Kool-Aid. Do we just jump right into the fact that you were in a cult?
Well, okay, let's talk about our relationship. I wasn't actually in a full cult. I was just in, I'm not going to like, I don't want to go into details about this, but I just was like in a group of coming up in the YouTube world that like retrospectively was like, was that a cult?
Okay, so I think it was a cult because I would go over and be like, hey Mitch, tap, 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 you're in a cult.
I was kind of on the outside of it. Like, I don't feel that I was like in a cult.
No, you weren't. But okay, let me read definitions of cults because I do think that
it qualifies.
A system of religious veneration and devotion directed toward a particular figure or object.
Okay, isn't that religion?
Yeah, so that's a little, you know, it's very hard to define cults. When you read academic literature, they always say that because
they cross over with many other things like
religion, which is just something that like we all like, not maybe us personally, but like we kind of accept it's not a cult. And then a lot of the studies talk about new religious, it's called NRMs, new religious, when we get to that study, I'll read about it, but it's like new religious movements as a academic term for a cult, because there is always this sort of spirituality thing mixed in. Anyways, a relatively small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or sinister.
Okay.
Or a misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing. And I think that was
right. Okay, well, I first want to touch on it because it is kind of like, by that definition, then religions are just cults that are so pervasive that we can't call them cults anymore.
That is a big part of why the abstracts in these papers are like, this is so hard to
and
study.
And I have heard some, like, not controversy, what's the word, like arguing over like a lot of small religious movements do often get called out, but then they're just like, why should we you know, in my mind, I could imagine that there's some innocuous kind religions that are new out there that
they're like, we're just trying to fit the world. It's a cult.
Like, I don't know.
Well, if that's true. Of our friends that go to CrossFit. I'm like, it's a cult. Like they actually like,
but some people would call that. Not just that.
I'm joking.
Some people
maybe
would
not
use those kinds of things that where people like are obsessed with as cults.
And it's like, maybe not a person, but it's the object and it's the box that they jump on and get a big ass. But there is, talk about your cult, because it was so juicy.
I came up in the YouTube scene. Isn't that like so sad to say out loud? It's like actually true. But like whenever I hear musicians talking about the scene they came up in, and I'm always like, I always romanticize it. And maybe they don't. Maybe they know how cringy it is deep down. But like,
yours was cringy.
Oh, stop. Just because the internet.
It was a cult, man.
It was. No. What it was from the outside was
a cult.
You know, stop it.
Sorry. I'm like,
there was a bunch of Canadian YouTube creators who I think there were not that many in the country, let alone where we were living, that were trying to kind of like come together. It honestly was an early days, like
Hype House.
Yeah, or what was the original one called?
Oh my God. Hype House is also a cult.
Yeah, so if those are cults, then what I was in was a cult.
Yeah.
But if they're not, then I wasn't.
No, I think the Hype House is a cult. I think the YouTube house that you were in was also a cult.
So the only thing
that
made ours a cult was that there was some weird reverence for like
The leader.
That was the most popular one, which I'm
and
sure happens.
And there was misplaced adoration towards him because...
Yeah, so
he
we don't need to
weird.
Talk about like that, but I just think it is interesting because at the time, I think I was a little older than most of the people that were part of it, so I could kind of see it, and I remember...
And I would come over and be like, Mitch, this is insane.
What really
and other people
was...
Too.
Wait, I eventually left, and we started ASAP Science, and then I was like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
But what was said to me one time in private by this person who was, you know, the leader, he took me in a room, he said... I respect you because I can't control you. Like I can control other people.
Oh my God, that makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, and I was like, what? And there was obviously just because I was like, I was older and I was confident. And I was like, I don't need this. It was exciting to like meet these people and be editing. And I was there helping make music and stuff and edit. And I was just like, you know, but at the end of the day, it wasn't like I wasn't living for it.
Yeah.
I wasn't living for it.
I wasn't living for you, Daddy.
But it was just so disturbing to have that moment.
When you told me that was when it was sort of like, we need to get out.
And they were saying it to me as though I would respect that they said
it
to me.
Yeah, no, it was like, near hang out.
Anyway.
So I do.
Our whole existence is because of a cult. Like our whole business existence.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like,
whatever. I'm like, being a YouTuber sucks. And I'm like, no, whatever. Oh my God, we're going to get canceled. I'm like, YouTuber's hard. What's the new thing that everyone's mad about?
Oh yeah.
An influencer was like, it's hard. It's like, it's not hard. It's the easiest job in the world, but it's like not that like cool. Okay. A cult is a misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing. I do think the Hype House is a cult, because isn't there like that guy and now he started a new one? There's like the four of them and he's like looks like he's 48, but he's actually like 23 and whatever that guy's name is.
You were in a cult and I'm not going to say it out loud in this podcast.
Stop it. So we can talk about it later, but or we can talk about it in the podcast. So, like, I don't care. We're talking about cults. So that guy in the Hype House, can we look up his name? Who was that guy?
I could not tell you. Wasn't there, what was the Jake Paul Hype House? Like, there was an
earlier
one, right? Like, there was an early version that was the original. And then there was also like O2L or something, like those, like the one that Shawn Mendes was in.
Wow, I'm literally reading about the Hype House. Don't recognize any of these names. Like, it's so funny how I'm trying to think of someone who's probably like the 17th person to start a Hype House. Either way, you were in a Hype House of the GTA.
Yeah.
And it was like the early 2000s. And I do think it
wasn't
was
the early, or wait, what 2000s. Was
it? The early 2010s.
It was 2012.
Yeah. The early 2012s. Like, and I do think it's like what made it so culty was the fact that you all like lived together and it was like you weren't getting paid and there was like sometimes like food held over you and it was like,
yes,
there were weird parts about it. But now I'm like,
we were literally paid in accommodation.
Paid in accommodation. The accommodation was bad. The food was like white bread and butter. Sometimes I'd be like, this is a cult. Like,
we would be
out.
Like, we're starving.
I remember
I'd be
once
like, okay, I can take you guys out. Yeah. We'll go get lunch.
Once we went out and got lunch and the people were like, oh my God, this food tastes so good. I'm like, it's literally a buffet. Like, what have you been eating? But my point is that I think it was such a cult. And now I'm like, we just accept those cults and their Hype Houses. And it's like, yeah. I haven't really thought about how creepy
those are versions that are internally cults. So it's like, I guess what cults are, but I guess is a stupid way to define it. But it's like, maybe young kids do worship the Hype House or whatever, but not in that way. It's more like the dynamic of the thing I was in was a group of like 15 people. Yeah. And within that, it was cultish. But from the outside in, people weren't seeing it that way. You know, we were like posting content online and it seemed.
Yeah, that's true. But the people around you, close to you, were like, this is a cult.
And there was a lot of discussion.
And
inside,
maybe
yeah.
people around the people who are in the Hype House who are like, might my son's also, in a cult.
Yeah. But then it's like, is Hollywood a cult? Is like working for an agency
and honestly,
in like that
if
whole
Bad
world.
Bunny or Rosalia started a cult, like I'd join it. Like, it's kind of like I have cultish obsessions with pop stars. Like, when it's like, what excessive misplaced admiration for a particular person. I go through my life, Celine Dion, Bjork, Lady Gaga. Like, at a different time, there is a person who truly
has like taken the role that you'd be obsessed
yeah,
over.
Yeah, once I told my friend Ali Pleeta she's never let it down, I was like, I would kill you to meet Lady Gaga for 2 minutes. Literally on my birthday this year as a joke, like, I was like, I would kill you for a TikTok from Bill Bad Bunny. But I was like, you know, at the time, like Alejandro had just come out and I was like, serious. Right. I wasn't actually going to kill him if we were drinking, but like, it was like,
that was the yeah. level you were willing to joke about it to, yeah. that they were that significant to you.
And there are people like that, like even with like BTS and these new fandoms. And
well, I actually want to bring up like my study then, okay. because it is about celebrity in particular. So it's not about cults necessarily, but mine's about celebrity worship and its relation to cognitive abilities.
Oh no, does it mean I'm dumb? It has to, because
so
I'm not smart.
Basically, like this group of people, I think it was like a few thousand, were given something called a celebrity attitude scale, where they had to like, you know, agree or disagree with a handful of statements. Yeah. I'm going to read a couple of examples. So it was like, I often feel compelled to learn the personal habits of my favorite celebrity.
Okay, Mitch, I spent Saturday 3 hours reading Rosalia's Wikipedia page and then clicking every single link. I know that where she bought her house. She bought her house in a specific suburb of Barcelona with Rao Alejandro, her boyfriend, who I also really
okay,
like. It was crazy. I know about the producers. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Next one we know the answer to. I am obsessed by details of my favorite celebrity's life.
Now, I really wish, like, if this was another week and I hadn't just seen that mind-blowing concert, I would be like, I'm not so much anymore. Like, it's right. a new one.
It is a new one, but you're in it.
I'm in
it. Okay, last most important one in my mind. If I were lucky enough to meet my favorite celebrity and he or she asked me to do something illegal as a favor, I would probably do
1,000%.
It.
1,000%.
Oh my God.
What? Are you kidding?
Okay, so you obviously are on the side of celebrity worship.
Like, I mean, obviously, like, I wouldn't kill someone, but if they were like, steal me a lipstick, like, yeah. Or like, illegal is such a vague term.
True. It
like,
could I cover wouldn't, a big range yeah, of things.
But if they were like, do you want to break into this store and steal a bunch of purses? I'd be like, that's so fun. Rosalia, let's go. Because then it would like, because I'm stealing purses from Louis Vuitton and they deserve it.
Yeah, like, but what if it wasn't Louis Vuitton? What so if like, it was a mom and pop shop?
Okay, like, no, I actually think I would be like, Rosalia, no. But like, I'm just saying there's a lot of illegal things I want to do. I would do right now. Like, there's illegal things that should be illegal.
Yeah, that's fair. That's different. That's different though. Okay. Like, what if she asked you to do something that you wouldn't normally do without
like
her asking
something
you?
Like that would morally make me feel bad, I wouldn't.
Okay.
But like, I would.
But you had a moment.
1,000% rob Louis Vuitton with Rosalie if that's an option.
Okay. So they asked those questions. Then they took cognitive tests, like vocabulary tests and digit symbol substitution tests, which is apparently like a standard for
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. The result. There was a tendency for those who had strong admiration for celebrities to have lower cognitive abilities. No. However, to be fair, the association wasn't super strong, but it was statistically significant. Like, it was not by chance. Because there have been other studies that have found this, but most of them could have been explained by chance.
Think of, like, all the brilliant physicists we've got to meet from our job. They don't give a flying fuck about what's going on in celebrity culture. Like, they don't.
They don't even know what...
But they also don't know how to speak English, so, like, whatever. Like, they also sometimes...
Because they speak science.
No, I know, but sometimes I'm like, you're so in the weeds on this that you're not even
smart. It's, like, a little far in the other direction.
If the cognitive... test was like, what's the date? They'd be like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, there's hopefully some things
they
get wrong.
Interesting. Some other thing that came up, not from this study, but it reminds me of you, says previous research has found that celebrity worship is also associated with addictive and problematic social media use.
Fuck.
Which makes sense though, because that's where you would be finding stuff, watching things about
but I've
them.
Always been obsessed like with celebrities, like even before I was gay, like, because it's always seems like a
but
gay
you
thing.
Obviously are so smart. It's interesting because I don't
I don't think I'm that smart.
You are though, like, you're you are, come on.
I just read a bunch of shit,
like, yeah, I just read the New Yorker every freaking day.
That's me putting in effort.
You listen to podcasts every single day. You're
that's putting in effort. I'm talking about like when I think like about naturally. Sitting in a classroom
when we were in university,
I work hard.
You know, I worked so much harder than you in
no
divorce.
I'm not saying I'm smarter than you. Sorry, but like me dragging me is dragging you. No, in university it was like maybe I'm smarter than Midge. But I
you
do
are.
Think that there but there were also a lot of people smarter than me in university who would study even less than I would do. And remember Iris?
Yeah.
Stoned out of her goddamn mind all the time. like Iris, if you're listening, I'll never forget you. That was incredible. She was so smart.
So smart. Yeah.
Like, she was truly a pothead. I don't think she cared about celebrities,
well, I guess
but she just
the
knew.
Word smart is also interesting to me because it is like, is being smart somehow just knowing things without, like, in that sense, I was always in awe because I felt like you studied less than me and would often do better.
Well, okay,
but
I think from
smartness, like, exams often, I'm just defending my own intelligence. Like, you know, sometimes people get nervous and stressed and, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of elements of intelligence that cannot be captured in an exam setting.
But, okay, from when I was a teacher, intelligence that they taught us to see in kids was being able to take what you've learned and apply it in different settings. So it's like, why I don't think I'm that smart is because I'm really good at, like, I'm very interested in things. Like, I love to learn. It's like my greatest passion, including learning where Rosalia's bot has. But, like, also literally learning about, like, how, like, nature and how, like, plants work. And I just am obsessed with the way that the world works. So obviously biology, I did so well.
You're just like basically describing that you're smart. You're like,
no,
so I'm not that smart, but
no,
I just like
sorry.
Obsessed.
I put
understand
so
the world.
Much work. I put so much work into knowing those things. And
but
I'm
that's
saying
what being smart is.
I'm saying
people don't like, just like magically know things.
No, but like I learned the thing in the context of what it is and I understand it and I get it. And then the second someone's like, okay, now take that, what you've learned and apply it to this new situation. I'm like, well, I haven't learned that, so I can't.
Mm.
And what I've noticed as a teacher was so fascinating with my like students who I remember being so intelligent is they would, without any effort, be able to take what they've learned and, like, and apply it to creatively and be like, I don't know this. And it'd be like, that's right. And they can do it with math. They can do it with English. Like, there are just people out there who, like, naturally can make connections between things, which to me, I've always thought was intelligence. And at one point was told that when I was a teacher.
No, that's like, definitely a form of intelligence.
If you think about, like, an exam, there'll be the first question, which I'll always do well on, which is just the question and the answer. There'll be the second, third, and then in science, at least, the fourth question will be like, okay, you know all that. We get that. Right.
Let's throw something new in.
Yeah. And I would always just be like, flip my table and be like, I don't know. And I think that truly is why I don't think I'm that smart. But I do get that, like, questions 1, 2, and 3, like, I'm so obsessed with learning that, like, things came naturally to me because I was genuinely enjoying myself, like, learning science. Like, I think sometimes when you looked at me being like, he's so smart, it's because I actually was like,
well, you also did tell me once that you have, like, a photographic memory, and you'd be like, when you sit in exams, you would just close your eyes and you could see the page.
Okay,
that's cheating.
That's a part of, like, the fact that I, like, also love painting and visual art, and I love visuals.
Yeah.
And I do remember sometimes, like, a lot of biology was drawing diagrams, and I could shut my eyes, like, and, like, see it. Yeah. And it obviously has to do with understanding, but, like, it felt like cheating. I was like, can anyone else do this?
Yeah,
like,
that is cheating.
Okay, so back to cults.
Well, okay, so the last thing I'll say, their evaluation of this association, their theory or hypothesis, was that it may be that individuals with higher levels of cognitive skills are more likely to understand the marketing strategies behind famous people and thus less vulnerable to celebrity worship.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that's just, like, their, like, take. Like, obviously that wasn't, like, what they found.
Well, I obviously have, like, addictive, problematic, like, phone use, and I am obsessed with celebrities.
To me, it's because your brain's going so fast. You just, like, always need something to stimulate it. Because you do so many other amazing, cool things that I just feel like it's I can picture this in other people that are not, like, I don't need to, like, pump you up and hype you up. Like, I know you're smart, but it's just, like, you are smart. Like, there's other people who probably aren't that.
But, like, celebrities have always been such a strong interest of mine. And it's so shitty and fleeting.
It doesn't have to.
But, like, it is. Yeah. Okay, I remember once we had an LA, like, manager, and we were, like, driving. And I don't even know. Like, she said something, and I was like, yeah, like, Demi Lovato or something. Like, answer. She was like, she looked at me, she's like, wow, good job. And it was like one of those moments. I'm like, yeah, in LA, I get like A+ for knowing Demi Lovato. I don't even know. It was something so where I was like, I don't want to be told good job for that. But it was sort of like there's a part of our society where like being culturally aware of things is a benefit because you're like at a party and it's like you can like
relate to people, connect to people,
and be like, oh my god, you're the new single, and it's like you get constantly like reaffirmed
connect with them.
That's been what I've thought. Like obviously, from a young age, I must have known something and someone had congratulated me and I've like my brain has meant this is good because when you zoom out it's not good.
It feels like a lot of, and this is just like anecdotal personal experience, but so many gay guys are obsessed with pop culture.
Yes, I know. I know.
But I will say opposites attract because I truly
You don't care.
I find it a job. Like I don't, it's not that I don't care. And there definitely are like celebrities or certain artists that I do obsess over in my own way, but not like to a super crazy.
Because I don't have the capacity.
I find it so interesting. I feel like it's because I'm dumb because I'm actually like, I can't fit anymore in my little brain.
That's why I think you're smart, even though I said earlier you weren't.
Yeah. Okay. You have a lot of ground to make up.
No,
here.
You're really like, you pay close attention to detail and you're right. You like get very like flooded easily because you're thinking deeply about things. And I really don't think people who think deeply are going to give a fuck about celebrities. And I think that's part of my issue with it is like, I'm not thinking deeply when I'm thinking about them because if I did, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, go to sleep.
Like, there's nothing worth thinking deeply about, really.
Really. It's like, even like Rosalia, it's like, if you really think about it, her songs are like beautiful, like songs about like getting eaten out amazingly and well, she had cool lights and stuff, but it's like at the end of the day that's not,
well, see, to me that's the part that's the most interesting actually. Like I think the art, like what she created in her show is, but then the obsession with her, like I still like love and appreciate and respect her as, but then it's like I think it's more interesting to get obsessed with a piece of art and yes, be like so fair. Curious about the meaning behind it and you're trying to extract as much out of it. Like that's why I love reading lyrics and like thinking about what they mean and their interpretation of them and meanings and like themes and songs. And I think that's
something.
She was a really bad example for me to bring up right now because I'm actually like, I feel like there is value.
Yeah.
But
not in her life to me. Like, yeah. I don't care that
and
much.
And the cult of celebrity for a lot of people are people who are just like in the tabloids.
Just because, for being famous, period.
Yeah. And it's just like, I know it's not good. Okay.
But anyways, again, it's like, yeah, who cares? It's just like, let people do what they want to do, you know?
Unless they end up in a cult, which I'm going to talk about now, which is the really interesting research about the people who end up falling into cults, because it's totally not what you would think.
Okay.
So I think that well, in some ways, yeah. The stereotype is that it's people who are like, I mean, when you think about the shows that we watch, yeah, a lot like of the time,
easily manipulative people, yeah, manipulated people,
Schadenfreude, like laughing,
right,
at them.
Right, it's like, you deserve this almost, like you did this to yourself.
Yeah, or like the person from like Smallville and NXIVM, I'm always like, oh my God, that crazy like Hollywood girl got in a cult. Like there's something juicy about Smallville. Being like, what?
Oh, I didn't know what either of those things you just said were.
Oh, NXIVM's like the famous cult that is like everyone's obsessed with. There's so many podcasts about it. And there are D-list celebrities. I would say D because I'm a scholar of celebrity and I can rate them. But a D-list celebrity from Smallville who like Alex Mack, like I remember watching her on TV and she's part of it.
Okay.
So it's sort of like there's something there that's like, if you like me, like celebrities are like, that's right. Interesting because it's managed.
Ties into cults.
Yeah. And I think for some reason people might be like, she was weak or something. So there's a stereotype that people are weak or stupid or disenfranchised, but that's completely inaccurate. So the common characteristics are that you have a higher level of education.
Oh.
You have a weak spiritual background. That's sort of separate. I'll get to that. Higher financial success, younger age, and you have fewer time constraints. So
this is...
Isn't that interesting? And I'm like, it's you.
So, it's like, that is me.
But it's also me. And it's also really interesting. So people who join cults, usually they think... Sorry. People who join cults on average have higher educational upbringing.
Attainment.
Like, yeah, exactly. And it's because what education teaches you is to take in new ideas and actually marinate and not just immediately say no to new information.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who are undereducated, when they get exposed to new information, they're like, that's not what I pre-existed thought. Like, no, reject. It's a no for me.
Okay.
And you have to be able to do that in order to join a cult. Also, a lot of cults they find involve a lot of reading and work and studying. And they've seen that this is their prediction as to why.
People who like will actually devote time to doing studying.
Yes, exactly. And so then the thing, a lot of this had to do with NRMs, which we were saying was like new religious movements, but like they're calling them cults. But again, you can't, what's a cult?
Mm-hmm.
And so also the fact that they were more affluent, like middle, like to higher income people, the reason they think is because it's like, they're linking wealth with success. They think that these people who are joining cults are more successful because they're people who like strive for more fulfillment in their lives.
Yeah.
And therefore they become more susceptible because they're constantly looking to seek growth or spirituality growth.
Right.
Or like the people who are successful are the people who are looking for more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just like, it is kind of ironic because I can relate to this in the sense that, you know, I'm not a religious person. And that does sometimes leave a bit of a hole.
Well, that's
it's almost like you're fulfilling, but then it's ironic that the definition of a cult kind of fits what a religion is in the first place. That it's like, so what is going on
so
there?
So it says also if you have a weaker spiritual upbringing, you're more likely to join a cult. And they had this like really dumb analogy. Sorry, maybe it was a smart analogy because I'm dumb. This analogy about like a car like in a parking lot. It's like, if you're in a Chevrolet, this was a really funny study, but whatever. If you're in a Chevrolet, is that even the name of a company?
It's a car.
Chevy. I said Chevrolet. Chevy's the short for Chevrolet.
I actually could not tell you if that's a different thing.
Because they said Chevy, and now I'm like, that means Chevrolet, right? And now I'm freaking out because I'm like, is that French?
Oh, by the way, if you guys didn't know, we're gay.
Yeah. Is Chevrolet a French car?
No way. I think it's American. I'm going to
I know, because when I picture a Chevy, I picture like down in Ohio State where I got my corn grown. I'm going to my farm and my Chevy. But it's a Chevrolet. Like it sounds like a gorgeous wine from like Port-au-Prince.
Oh, it's part of General Motors. It's American Automotive Division of American. Yeah. Yeah.
But they hate
from
France.
Detroit.
Do you know what I mean? Like I'm like, it's interesting that they didn't call it like...
like a Dorito or actually no, that's not
good. And it is the same as Chevy. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Wow, we're learning. We're getting but so educated.
Isn't
right
Chevrolet
now
such a gorgeous French term for like one of the most American things in my head?
Yeah, I need to learn what this word means. Like, where is the etiology? Is that or etymology?
Yeah,
I
never. Oh my god, words! I'm having that weird thing where you like think too much and words are starting to fall. Etymology is bugs.
Okay, typing in, what does Chevrolet mean?
They're gonna be like, it means a car.
Ugh, I want to know.
I think it just means that some gorgeous, classy American at the time thought that they should look to France when naming their vehicle.
I'll look into this later.
I mean, if you're French and you can be like, Chevrolet means car or something, like, then let us know. But
okay, get back to
Yet. The metaphor, side note, it's called side note for a reason because you're gonna go all over the place. The metaphor is like, if you are a avid Chevy, you're in your Chevy and you're in the parking lot. And I need you to focus. You're looking, stop in hand. I can't, Mitch.
Roebuck? I don't know. Okay.
Stop.
I'm here. I'm here.
It doesn't matter. You're in your Chevy shit. I keep saying it. Chevrolet, if you will. And you are obsessed with Chevrolets.
Okay.
And you're walking into, it's such a stupid metaphor. And you're walking into a car dealership and you love your Chevy and you park your Chevy and you're like, and it's, and they're like, we're going to sell you on this Ford. You're going to be like, I love my Chevy. But if you're walking into a car dealership and you have no car before, and they start pitching you on a Ford, you're like, okay, maybe I'll try a Ford. Like they're saying, like,
interesting. If you have a pre-existing, so you're willing to enter into a new space and okay.
Like if you have a pre-existing like obsession with the
Chevrolet car. Oh my god, you know what are cults?
What?
Android and iPhone, Apple. Both, like people obsess, they're cultish.
And so when you have an Apple iPhone, you're obviously going to get the new Apple iPhone. But when you're 13 and your mom says, or dad, or anything in between, says you can get a phone, you go, well, which one?
Well, in that case,
and then you're more susceptible to the
like peer pressure.
I did that. I was tried to be cool and didn't want to get the Sony Bean or an iPhone. And I went and I went downtown to a guy, the shittiest thing ever. It was an MP3 player. And I told my sister there were good reviews. She bought it too. Both stopped working in a week. We were like, where do we go to fix this? They're like, we don't even know what that is. So I tried that once and it's like, okay, I was the cult of that. But if you aren't irreligious, you're more susceptible to cults.
Interesting.
Because you don't have this thing.
Because your religion would ground you in something previously. And also, like, you would probably in some ways be in opposition to your religion.
Exactly. And you're maybe not lurking for them. You know what they
But that's
you.
Assuming the cult is in the same... What do you say? Like,
I know.
What would you say? Like category?
Yeah. So
like
this,
spiritual cult,
totally.
Right?
Well, this was, that's what
versus
the study
if we're
on.
Talking about Android and Apple, that's like a technological cult.
This study was on new
doesn't
religious
have to be,
movements.
But,
so it's like, that is fair. These are, we're really rooted in spirituality. The last thing is that if you are younger, you're more susceptible to cults. And it's because they bring in child psychology and like teenage psychology. And you really start to try and figure yourself out separate from your parents. Mm. And so that is like a really like rife opportunity for people
perfect
to be like, I am someone different. Like this is me. And a variety of reasons. I just like remember doing that, but I didn't join a cult.
Yeah.
So they're also like, that one seems more obvious.
Right.
The fact that you'd be like richer and more successful, I think is so interesting.
It's counterintuitive.
And that you'd be more educated. It's so interesting. It's counterintuitive. And I really thought,
but it is interesting because I'm sure we've had this discussion before. I don't know if on the podcast, but how like in modern day there is sort of this lack of like, I don't want to subscribe to like religious philosophy or
gathering.
No,
but I do want to go to church every Sunday.
Yeah, there's something nice about having a community. And both your parents are like go to a church, but I don't see them as particularly religious. I think it's like a community. It's like nice to see people and like see their families and see them on a weekly basis. So
I want to be in a really nice cult.
Yeah, like, and to be honest, that's how cults pose themselves. Like, it's hard to know what, that's why the word cult is just so weird.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, when I watched Wild Wild Country, like that Netflix series.
Yeah, you wanted, you.
Well, I don't, like, obviously it gets, like, messy and people, like, I kind of forget what happens, to be honest. But I was like, I don't know, it sounds good. Yeah. It's like a little bit like,
my
like,
camp
love
was a
everyone.
Cult. That's what you were going to bring up.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
camp was, like, culty, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was, like, built some of the most beautiful relationships of my life. And also I was like, it was a cult.
I think like being a cult doesn't have to be bad if it is not harming. I guess that's easy enough to say and harder to like evaluate.
Yeah.
But like I can imagine like, okay, with this Wild Wild Country show, that's a Netflix series if you haven't seen it. And it's about like this figure, this like religious Indian guru who comes to America, has a cult in India and comes to America
super fascinating,
and they build
yeah.
like on this land and almost make their own little city. And they start winning in political battles and stuff because they're like, we want to change the landscape of what we live. But like their ideals on the surface were actually very nice.
Yeah.
It's like to love people, to live in a community where you help each other. And it's not all about like capitalism, but like yeah. it's okay to be interested in monetary things. Like it was addressing that, I think, a way a lot of people felt where it's like, you don't have to be like this pious, like, get rid of everything to feel yeah. spiritually connected to the world. And I just watching it, remember thinking like, I don't know, it's a nice idea.
Yeah,
like maybe
yeah.
it was executed in the wrong way and by people who
I
were
think that's
like
why cults have such bad reps. It's because like everyone ends up like dying en masse. But like yeah. at the beginning, you kind of, the reason well, people love are fascinated because you're like, I can see the glimmer
yeah.
of truth.
Some cults to me obviously start out as hate cults, right? And those are obviously bad when you're like, this cult is built around like the hatred for different groups. Or, but when a cult's more insular and it's like, we just want to like live a beautiful life.
And then they like, all die en masse. It's like,
call me up.
Like, they like did well while they did.
No, but they don't always all die en masse.
Yeah, no, sorry. But I'm saying but even sometimes if they do all and they're all like happy. It's like, I don't know. That's different. That's
no, it is. It can get dark for sure.
I just think my favorite takeaway from the study was like, if you're more affluent, you're more likely to join a cult.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of really, like all the people who are part of Scientology.
Yeah, and they also said you have to have a lot of free time. It's like rich people have free time.
Because you devote it.
Yeah, yeah, rich people are well-educated yeah. and they read a lot and they're obsessed with new information. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of just like, woof, I like yeah. that.
If your life is otherwise occupied with just having to meet the bear, like, survive, you're probably mentally don't
yeah,
have
you're like,
the time
no,
to,
I don't have time for that bullshit. Yeah. Like, literally.
And it's probably easier to see, like, that things are bullshit when you're yeah. like, okay, like,
yeah.
life is hard.
Totally. And I just think of, like, the rich, like, person who's just like looking for more. Like,
I'm looking for more. Can someone tell me a cult that's not bad that yeah. I can join?
Well, I'm like, it doesn't like, that's the cool thing about studies is they're not telling.
I hope
like,
the word cult's not bad. I just mean it in a way that's
we're
like a group.
Absolutely canceled.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm just worried. I'm like, are there like communities I can join? You know, I love yes. the idea. I know, I guess there are
running groups.
Well, actually, that's a nice idea.
Right?
My knee always hurts.
Pottery class.
I don't want to do that. I need something.
No,
something
me too.
That would feel nice.
We all need a cult. No.
No, we all
us
need
annoying rich
a community.
Need a cult. No,
you know what though? Because no. we also work alone and at home and like obviously we have friends and I'm just saying like it's so easy in this job to feel really isolated.
Careful.
What?
You're gonna get canceled.
Oh, oh my gosh. Please do not post a clip of this. No. It's not hard. I'm just saying it's isolating.
So we're done. Like, that's all the sign. There's not that much scientific information about cults. If you happen to think you're in a cult, reach out.
Yeah. Let us know.
We'll chat with you. We might be like, where is it? Can we come? And then my last thing was just like, what is the influencer thing? It's like some girl said being an influencer is hard.
Yeah.
Is being an influencer a cult?
No, because I don't think it's like centralized. I mean, I think like money is a cult and fame is a cult. Hmm. You know what I mean? If you could call them that, because people become obsessed and spend all
and
their
Hollywood's
life.
Kind of a cult because it's like people try so hard to like get into like
and there are
the
people
Emmys.
Of power that you have to appease
yeah.
and
oh.
it's a very political insider game in a lot of cases.
And we've seen them, like the guy with the corner office who's a freak. Yeah. Literally, I can name three of them.
Lots of freaks.
And they're
cult leaders.
They're cult leaders because they're so bad at their job. Like, their job is to be like, when
sociable,
is their job?
And
sociable. And they're not. They're like scary. So wait, the influencer said online
there was
that
just
it
a girl
was hard.
Who, well, yeah, I guess it was from a video. I don't know. It was from a YouTube video or something. And she was just like, try being an influencer for whatever. Like, it's so hard. And obviously it's like blown up and it is like, it's wild.
I love it, like thinking about
a lot of people
the,
are like,
all,
it's not hard.
I love thinking of all the influencers who are like, my opportunity for clicks. And they're like,
yeah,
being an influencer is actually so easy.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, but I bet like in the back of their head, they're like, it is hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone
We've
deals
lived-
with their own job. Like, it's every job has challenges and every life has challenges. And some are probably quantifiably much harder than others. But no matter what, when you're in your own bubble, it's all you know.
But we've lived, like, we've been doing this for long enough that we lived through a time where, like, it was cool for YouTubers to be, like, lifetime.
Oh, true, yeah.
Like, they would get their clicks by saying they were burnt
out. And now
out.
Enough people do it that it's not.
It's like, but I just remember always being like, shut up.
Yeah.
And then also sometimes they'd be like, I'm going on a hiatus. And then they'd make a video, like, 2 weeks later. And I'd be like, wait, that's not a hiatus.
It's like, we regularly do that and we're not taking a break.
Yeah, anyways. That was me trying to get my little hits in with the I'm an influencer.
Yeah, the and it's end of an hour-long podcast.
Okay. Namaste.
Yeah. We'll start a cart.
cult. What?
Let's start a cult, you and I.
Mitch, I'm not gonna be able to do that. I'm not. You can do that.
I just have to become a celebrity and then you'll finally be interested in me.
No, but you would be a good. I would not.
No, I don't think I'd be a leader. I think I have to be a follower. I don't have the energy to be a leader.
I don't have the energy to be a leader. Honestly, leaders are insufferable.
Yeah, and I just want to like sit down and like hang out.
I don't want the stress. You're right. Like if someone was like, your job is to like lead collect this wheat all day, I'd be like, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. Give me something simple.
But then I would probably get bored. Okay, let's go. I'd want to collect wheat, and then at night I'd have to like be on like a drum and like I'd have to sing a bit or dance. I could be a dance. No, what? I could
be a dance cult.
At my camp, which was a cult, I was usually thrown into quote unquote gay things to do, which I was not that good at. But the dance instructor thing, which again, I had no experience with, but they were like, you're gay, you can do it. Absolutely loved. I would be a dance instructor at a cult in a second. But people might slowly be like, he doesn't know how to dance. And that was
all righty. Well, thank you for listening as always. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bob.
Peace.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.